Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, everyone. We are so glad to be in His presence again, to give Him glory and to give Him praise, because He's worthy to be praised. So glad to have all of you here with us, and we trust that as you have come to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, the Lord will bless you in your heart, and the Lord will bless your family, the Lord will bless the effort that you have made to be here. To God be the glory, great things He has done. Praise God. This will be the last service on this platform for a little while in this fashion. The next, we will be here, yes, but for the most part, we will be gathered together in a new location in Miami starting next Sunday. And we trust that you will tune to this same platform to hear us from there. We give God the glory and we give God the praise for what He has done. Today I'd like to speak to us from the passage which Pastor Fiani read, Psalms chapter 51, and especially the verse 16 and 17 that he had read, which goes like this. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O Lord, thou wilt not despise. Those are the two passages of scriptures that we're going to concentrate on, but there are others that we are going to bring into the mix as well. Bless the Lord. And the topic that we'd like to use for today is in the presence of a holy God. Amen. That is the topic we'd like to focus on as we look on these two verses mainly from Psalms 51. In the presence of a holy God. When we think about where we are as a people in general, we find that the further we drift from Calvary, the further we go from the crucifixion, the more years pass between the crucifixion and us, is the more detached we seem to be from the holiness of God. Because for some reason we seem to get used to all that has been said about the cross, all that has been said about Jesus, the continuous coming to church. We seem to get used to all of that. And in some way it becomes meaningless. But God has not changed. I discover that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what He has said yesterday is the same thing He means today. And the same thing holds as we going forward. And when the service in the presence of a holy God make these declarations here in Psalms 51, 16 and 17. It's because he was seeing God. He was seeing God and he was engulfed with the presence of the Lord. I remember saying Luke chapter 5, after the Lord told Peter that he should launch out in the deep for a catch. And after contending with Jesus for a minute, he did it. And what happened afterwards was history. They caught so many fishes that they had to beckon to their partners to come and help them with the catch. And Peter, we remember, when he behold what had happened, he looked on Jesus and said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." You and I don't belong in the same place. As he crumbled in the presence of a holy God, having seen the supernatural, having seen the heart of the supernatural, it caused him to see himself, and he crumbled at the presence of a holy God.
Amen.
The Bible tells us, Revelation chapter 1, verse 17, John, after he saw Jesus being in the spirit, he saw Jesus coming from the tomb. And when he looked among the candlestick, he saw somebody that he was familiar with. Only this time, he described him as somebody been through the flame. After he spoke, John turned around, and John take a very good look at him. The word tells us that John fell down at his feet as if he was dead, having seen the crucified Savior, having seen the Lord of hosts, having seen him declaring and walking among the candlestick in the spirit, he fell down at his feet as if he was dead. And Jesus came over and touched him and lifted him up, declared to him, "I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore." In the presence of a holy God, things change. And that's why we are in this church here today. And every time that we come to church, saints, every time that we are engaged in the service of the Lord, we must come with an expectation that we are going to meet with the Lord. We are to come with a heart ready to receive God as we caught up in the presence of a holy God. Because he already declared that he was going to be in our midst. He already declared that he will be in our midst. And we need to have that level of expectation as we come before him in worship. I remember reading something not too long ago about Billy Graham, President Ford, and a golfer, a professional golfer by the name of Jack Nicklaus. They went out to play golf, all three of them. And surprisingly enough, the professional golfer, Jack Nicklaus, tried his utmost best, and he found himself not scoring. Not scoring, and he became frustrated. And after the bout, he went back to his friends, and his friends asked him, Why you weren't able to perform? You being a professional, why were you not able to perform? He said to his friend, Billy Graham. His friend said to him, what did Billy Graham say to you about religion? He said to his friends, not a word. He has not said a word to me about religion. But just by him being there as a holy man of God, I was troubled. I was troubled in my spirit. And my skill has left me because I discovered I was in the presence of a man of God. Well documented, you can read it. And I want to say to the church, that it's time that we start to show a level of respect and recognition to the presence of the Lord and give him the attention that he deserves so that our heart can be changed, our heart can be softened, our heart can be in the right place as we worship him in the beauty of holiness. As we look in Psalms 51 here, as we said, under the topic, in the presence of a holy God. Before David reached verse 16 and 17, where he described his brokenness before God, there were some things that he said prior to reaching there. And we're going to look in two thoughts that he identified, which is prerequisite to his declaration in 16 and 17. And the first one is in verse 6, Psalm 51, verse 6. Psalms 51, verse 6 says, behold, is drawing attention. He's saying, look, look. He is getting others' attention to a very important thought that he is about to present. He said, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward part. And in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. The psalmist is saying, Lord, I know what you desire. I know your thoughts. I know what you want from me. I know that your eyes penetrate my being. And you look inside of me and you saw where I am locked. And you have made it known to me. You desire truth in the inward part. And all right, David was. But right here in this service, the Lord is saying the same thing. The Lord is saying to all of us that I desire truth on our inward part. I desire you. I desire me. I desire all of us to speak to me from a platform of truth, of truthfulness. And David, after he had sinned before God, he tried to shake it off. And no matter what he does, it could not go away. Until when he reaches this point here. That he acknowledged that he realized what the Lord desired. Truth on the inward part. On the inward part. Make a note of that. God is interested in what inside. What goes on the inside is what God is interested in. Because externally, we probably might be able to convince one another that what they see is what it is. But God is not particularly interested on the outside. God is interested in truth on the inside. And let my unsaved friend, we go to church, and some of them listen to this meeting right now. And not only this meeting, there have been too many of these meetings that we are having on this platform. Move on again. Many of my unsaved friends. And to what extent we have stopped to see that God, the God that we serve, is interested in what goes on the inside. I don't know. But I'm saying to us here, here's a servant of God who decided to come clean before God. And to say to God, I know what you desire. I know that you desire truth on my inner part. That will I try to demonstrate before you. Because I want to shake off this guilt that is before me. Behold! So important here. That I, behold, thou desires truth in the inner part and in the hidden part. That is going deeper. That is not only the inner part, no. Not only the inner part, but the hidden part. The hidden part of man. Where only the light of God can shine. Right in there. Thou shalt make me to know wisdom. It is in there that revelation will flow. When I confess truth on the inner part. My desire, the psalmist was saying, is that I might know the revelation of God from my inner part. But as for my inner part, I am going to confess truth before my God. All up and on the inside things. I am desired. I'm desirous of coming clean before a holy God. And you see, we have to really see the holiness of God. We have to see the holiness of God. Peter, with that church, saw the holiness of God. John, in the revelation we spoke of, discovered the holiness of God. And that's why their reaction was of such. Today, I am asking us to try to let us see the presence and the holiness of God. So that will influence our decisions as we acknowledge Him in our presence. And that is one. Two. The psalmist discovers that he does not have truth on his inside. The psalmist came clean before God and declared, I do not have this truth that you desire on my inner part. As we look on verse 10. Look what verse 10 said to us. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew what? A right spirit within me. Right there, he is confessing that the spirit that he has was the wrong spirit. He's confessing before the Lord, as he speaks truth, that the spirit that I now have is the wrong spirit. Create in me a clean heart and renew the right spirit. A right spirit within me. My brothers, my sisters, we can have a church that is filled with people. And when the church service is over, we went back home as dry as we came. For the simple reason that the presence of the Lord was in the meeting and we did not know. We did not feel Him. We did not apply ourselves to experience Him. A church filled with people. Yes, I'm going through the rituals. But we walk away empty. Because we did not acknowledge His presence among us. As David is now doing. As Peter did. As John did in the Revelations. A church filled with people. And they walked away empty. The psalmist here is saying to us, I discover that I have the wrong spirit. And therefore, I'm asking you to renew a right spirit within me. He had it before. He had it before. He experienced the presence, the joy, the beauty, the holiness, the gladness and greatness of Almighty God in His presence before. But now, he's feeling empty. So not only that he discovered what God desires, but he also told God what he does not have in order to fulfill that requirement. And that is coming clean before God. That is what God asks all of us to do, to come clean before Him. Because we need to understand this. We are talking about a holy God. A God without spot. A God without blemish. A God without anything that is negative as far as righteousness is concerned. A God who is altogether holy. Altogether righteous. That is who David was standing before in his presence. And he was pouring out before God what he believed God desires and what he knows that he did not have. His request was for a right spirit to occupy his mind. And when we stop for a minute to consider the depth of what is considered to be a right spirit, renew a right spirit within me, we go back to the Word of God and we ask the question, what is a right spirit? What is a right spirit? And we find that there are three things here that the Bible just pushed out at us, which characterize the right spirit of God. And when David asked that he be renewed, but with a right spirit, he's talking about the spirit of truth. When he, the spirit of truth is come, he shall guide you into our truth, says the Bible. He's talking about the Son of God. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Hallelujah. David is making a request to be furnished with the spirit and truth of Almighty God. The third thing is the word of truth. The word of truth. To be in the center, to be in the inner part of his heart. He's making a request that God restore unto him a right spirit. Spirit of truth. Word of truth. In the inner part. I'm not sure that this is our request on this day. All of us here listening, that we will stop for a minute and we will reassess our own position before God and apply for a spirit. The spirit of truth. The right spirit to occupy our inside. Because there are contrary spirits. They are the spirit of pride. They are a spirit of rebellion. They are a spirit of different types that we have seen in the Bible, some of which we will be looking on just in a minute. There are different spirits that seem to come to occupy people's mind. And when those spirits occupies the mind, the request that David have will not be granted. Because there's a different spirit that takes up center stage and preoccupies the mind. Let us look on some of these spirits that are there. Psalms, 2 Timothy, chapter 3, and I will read from verse 1 to verse 5. Let us look on the writing of the apostle to young Timothy as he assesses the hardness of the heart in these times. And the hardness of the heart creates an atmosphere in which it is difficult to be broken before God. Let us look at this passage here, 1 to 5. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 to 5. The Apostle Paul writing to young Timothy, speaking about our days here, this time. And as we involve in this service today, which is considered to be Men's Sunday, the apostle was speaking to men. Of course, he'll include women too, but he referred particularly to men. Maybe this is one of the reasons why we have not seen more men come to the altar to surrender before the Lord. Could be because they have identified, they are identified here in the things that the apostle is about to say. And as a result of that, the heart is so hardened that it cannot be bent. It cannot be broken, as the psalmist declares in Psalms chapter 51, verse 17. Let us look and see what he says here. I read from verse 1 to verse 5. This know also, that in the last days, perilous time shall come. We are in those days right now. As you look around in America, as you look around in the world, you are seeing the things that the Apostle Paul is about to say manifesting itself before us. You don't have to walk a distance. You only have to come out of your house, and you are seeing them manifesting before your very eyes. You look on the television, they are right there before you. You listen to the radio, they are right there in your ears. The things that the apostle is about to say. For men, today being Men's Sunday, and everything that he is saying here, we could easily put for men before it, because it's referring to men in particular. But of course, the women are involved too. He said, verse 2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. That is where he starts. Men shall be lovers of their own self. Right there you find that men are putting themselves before God. There is a blockage there. There's a wall of partition there that separates man from God. Man cannot get over on God's side because it is separated with a sense of preference for man than God. For men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud. You know, I always thought that those two were the same word. But no, it is differentiated. Boasters and proud. Meaning you're in a state where you're actually opposing the things of God. And you're loving the things that brings gratification to yourself instead of wanting to embrace the God and the scripture that we are dealing with. Blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. We will come back to the word unholy in a minute. Verse 3, without natural affection. Oh Lord. Without natural affection. Truth breaker. False accusers. Incontinent. Fierce. Despisers of those that are good. Traitors. Eddy and minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Is not where we see people today? Is not where we see the world today? Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Isn't that why most men are not in church? Check the football field. There are more men than women. Check the basketball field. There are more men than women. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And then the Apostle Paul put down here as the last footnote. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. These are things that the Apostle Paul, looking down through the corridors of time by prophetic ministry, saw what was going to happen to the world on this particular day. And days going forward, leading up to the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's why the psalmist presentation before God is so vital to us today. Because the psalmist is identifying all these things that the apostle made mention of here. He said, he's saying, I saw them in me. I saw them in me. And I'm appealing to you to renew a right spirit in me. A spirit that I don't have. A spirit that will yield to you, Lord. Not a spirit that is in opposition of you. As I said, one of the things that the Apostle Paul made mention of there is that men would be unholy. 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 We're living in a time where holiness is so vital in the church. Holiness, seeing the holiness of God and adjusting ourselves to it, taking ourselves out of the way and yield to the presence of a holy God. Yield, submit to the presence of a holy God. That's why we can have a full church and yet still we walk away empty, because we have not submitted, we have not yielded to the holiness of God, the presence of God. Hebrews chapter 12 tells us, I think verse 14 tells us, that without holiness, no one shall see God. Without holiness, without being holy, as the word describes, be holy, as your Father which is in heaven is holy. Without holiness, none of us shall see God. And the Apostle Paul said the time is coming when men shall be unholy. David is seeking to be holy before God. You know what the Lord said in his first presentation, in his first public ministry? Matthew chapter 5. The first blessing that he bestowed. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for there is the kingdom of heaven. That's what Jesus said. Happy are you if your spirit is broken. If you have a broken and a contrite spirit, happy are you in the presence of the Lord. Because that spirit of humility, is going to place you into the kingdom of heaven. The apostle here is warning the entire church that the time is going to come when men shall be in these positions here which were noted. But hallelujah, it is possible. It is possible to take a stock of oneself and be a David. And be a David. Notice, the apostle did not say that these things are going to happen because famine is going to be on the land. The apostle did not say it is going to happen because God is going to mete out a certain type of judgment. The apostle is not going to say, it did not say these things are going to happen because sickness of some sort is going to befall people. The apostle saying no such thing. The apostle is saying it is a spirit of mind that is contrary to God that is going to cause these things. And David said, renew a right spirit within me. Because right now, my spirit is not right. So let's bring us to the final, the two verses of scripture read. Verse 16, Psalms 51, verse 16. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it, thou delightest not in burnt. Look here, if there was anybody having the ability of providing whatever sacrifice God requires, it's David. David was a king. David could provide a lamb at any time. David could provide a goat at any time. David could provide a bullock at any time. David could provide any bird at any time. Regardless of what type of sacrifice, David could find it at a heartbeat. We're talking about a man who is well off, a man who is a king, have all the resources that was necessary on his day. And he came to the conclusion where he said, all of these sacrifices that I can be able to provide, you are not interested in them, Lord. These are not what is going to make the difference. We. These are external presentations. These are external things that will show that you and I are in good stead, when in fact we are not. We find the same thing happening today. We dress up the same man on the outside, but the inside is wanting. Oftentimes we do talk the talk, and we are not walking the walk. David said, it is not external requirements here that is necessary. But God requires something greater, something deeper, something better, something more. Than what sacrifice of a lamb, a bull, a turtle dove can produce. What David said is required for him to have the right spirit, a renewed spirit. What is required for him to get what is called the spirit of truth in him is a broken heart. A broken and a contrite heart thou wilt not despise. As he finds himself in the presence of the Lord, bowing before God, acknowledging his fault, acknowledging the greatness of God, he discovers that all those things that were offered to God in the past cannot help him right now. What will help him is a deeper dive into his commitment to God. And that is a broken heart, a heart that is broken by sorrow, a heart that is broken by guilt, a heart that is broken, which can only be mended by the Holy Ghost, by the Spirit of God, and right spirit to be renewed in him. Despite the fact that he had all the resources that one could ever afford. In Jamaica, right now, as was alluded to earlier, many of our friends, neighbors, families are heartbroken because of the devastation that is happening around them and to them. Heartbroken. Being melted on the inside. Their hopes are dashed. Their pride is crumbled. And the voice of help can be heard everywhere. But that is not what caused David to be in this position. David had everything. Money, wealth, whatever you name it. He had everything as a king. But he was before God pleading for a relationship. A relationship that has gone broken. A relationship that has gone sour. A relationship that would produce joy and gladness. And renew a right spirit. David. That is what was on David's mind. And he said, the only way that this is possible is for me to have what is called, in verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken and a contrite heart. Oh God, thou wilt not despise. When God sees that, He's not going to look away. When God sees that, he is going to apply himself to your condition. When God sees that, he's satisfied. When God sees that, he put out all the stops to render forgiveness and to show mercy. A broken heart, a broken and a contrite heart. And men in general often feel it's beneath me to be broken before God. It is beneath me to surrender to God. It is beneath me to show my emotion before God. But the king, David, the man with all the resources, came before God with trembling in his voice, asking God to forgive him and telling God that, look, I know that you desire truth on the inside. And that is what I am going to do. I am going to tell you exactly how I feel inside. I am desperate. I'm in need of the right spirit. And the only way that I can get this right spirit from you is to be broken before you, Lord. And here I am, broken before you, Lord. As I see you, I see myself. As I see your holiness, I see my shortcomings. As I see your greatness, I see my failures.
Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Tells us, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What we need is a transformation. We need a transformation. As we see God, we need to transform to the next level as a people, so that the right spirit will occupy our mind, a spirit of humility. A spirit of reverence to our God. A spirit of holiness. As we renewed in the spirit of our mind, so that we might be able to identify how to please God. We might be able to identify where God is and what he requires. As we transform in the renewing of our mind. Church, I bless the Lord today to know that it is possible for you and I to make a change. It is possible for you and I to be broken before the Lord and for him to renew a right spirit within us. I'm glad to know that based on how David teaches us here, we are at the place where we understand what God requires. He requires truth on the inner part. And as we apply that area of truth, as we apply and ask for Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, we will be in a place where we can be broken before the Lord. And we can ask him to furnish us in our hidden part with what is necessary so that we might be granted revelation revelation that comes only from you. And David was restored. David received from God, and he was relieved. He was relieved. No wonder in another place he said, come taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusted in him. He was relieved as a result of a broken and a contrite heart. In that very same passage, Psalm 34, he repeats what he said here. That a broken and a contrite spirit, the Lord will not despise. And that is where the Apostolic Church of Jamaica would like to see all of us who support our ministry be in the presence of God. As we acknowledge God in his presence, in the presence of a holy God, that is what we would love everyone listening right now as a church to be. As we surrender before God and we humble ourselves and give him that attention that he needs and deserves. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for speaking to us today, Lord. This word, Lord God, this Bible that you gave to us, the manual about yourself, is still speaking volumes. It's still reaching to our hearts. It's still relevant today as it was then. And it is speaking to us, and it is telling us about what you desire and what our requirement is. We thank you. We thank you, Lord. And the stoutness of hearts that were mentioned by the Apostle Paul, Lord God, can be reached by your word, can be adjusted so that those who were mentioned can come and yield themselves as David did to you and receive the right spirit. We pray for the transformation today, Lord. We pray that you will transform our heart so that we'll be able to identify what you require. As we give you glory, as we give you praise, we say thanks. In Jesus' name.